Welcome. This is the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm your host, Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us. We're back at it, bright and shiny on this dark and dreary Monday. At least here in St. Louis, it seems rather dark and dreary. I hope the sun is blazing hot and wonderful wherever you are. If not, well, let's enjoy the winter season as we go through it. It's here for a while. We're kind of stuck with it, aren't we, Pastor Troxell?
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? You seem to be safely ensconced in the bunker, the weatherproof bunker up there in Bowen, Illinois.
I hope it's winterproof because the roads were not good.
I thought it only snowed south. What happened up north?
Well, we got just enough of a dusting of snow to leave footprints and to cause a tank truck to roll over into the median and close U.S. 61, four-lane highway, for 12 hours yesterday, from 3 p.m. yesterday afternoon till past 3 a.m. this morning.
Oh, gracious.
That's why I didn't drive down today.
I can't say I blame you.
Yeah.
Pastor Larry Troxell serves at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois, a regular here on the Bible Study. Other than that and traffic problems, how goes everything up north?
Pretty well. You know, we should, I suppose, keep reminding people I am retired. I'll tell you a story about that privately, but it's a necessary thing.
Well, you know what? I don't pry into such matters. It just, you know, Jenny puts it on the calendar, and that's what I say on the air.
Well, that, all right. But yes, I am having a great time in retirement serving this wonderful congregation in tiny little Bowen, Illinois, which is just a neat place to be.
So you retired and you took a full-time job.
I was totally without assignment for about a year and a half, and to keep the brain from turning to mush, and because there was a need, our former district, he was district president at the time, called me one day and said, "Buddy, you're it."
Buddy, you're it.
That's what you get for being friends with a man who was district president since we were in seminary.
Now, is that what your call document reads? Buddy, you're it?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's what the voters assembly up there said, too.
Well, this is the nature you bring to this Bible study. I love this. This is, you know, if we couldn't have fun like this on a day like today, what else would you be doing?
Well, I mean, what greater fun is there than to be serving people with the Word of God?
Well, none that I can find.
No.
But, you know, I do have to, you know, start this week's programming on a little bit of a down note.
Oh.
I apologize, but I have to do this because we're going to pray in just a moment. Normally, after we pray, we start the program by inviting phone calls.
Yes.
The 800 number is not in service today.
I found that out.
Yeah. So,
in fact, it was getting a little panicky because even when I, with my landline, dialed the toll number, apparently had the phones turned down because you were broadcast, doing some other broadcast work or something, but nobody answered the phone.
Well, that's because Buzz has been busy getting some things recorded this morning, and Jenny was back at her workstation in the bullpen. But before we pray, let's break protocol of formatics for just a moment. We're going to give out the phone number this morning. If you really want to call in, it may cost you a couple of shekels, but 314 is the area code, 821-0850. Or you can send me an email. This would be a great day to do it with the 800 number down, KFUO at KFUO.org. Comes right here into the studio, and we'll put your questions or comments right up on the air. Not quite sure what the problem is, if it's weather-related or what it may be. At least as far as everything here at the studio is concerned, it's all working fine.
Well, it just goes to prove that we still are coping with the fallen nature of the universe, and things happen.
Yeah, just wait till all the batteries run out. All
of
you iPad-dependent people.
I'm praying that they... You know, it's interesting because today is, I think, the 107th birthday of a rear admiral in the United States Navy who actually developed the first computer compiler program so that people didn't have to write programs in machine code. And she's the one that came up with the term debugging, because when the computer didn't work and they got inside of it, they found a dead moth inside of a relay. And she said, "Uh-huh, you're debugging it." And you know, and yeah. she's in computer world. She's vastly famous, and you know, people want another interesting read. Just Google. Well, if you're on Google, just click on the icon for today, which is in her honor.
Yeah,
her memory.
Or just, you know, search the word debug and look at the history and synthesis of that word and how it's come to be.
And you know what? That's what our Savior does for us.
He debugs us?
Yes. And there's some pretty nasty bugs known as sin.
Well, in Romans 15, verses 5 to 6, your assignment for today,
yes.
Can't find any bugs here.
We need to be careful when we talk about it.
Oh, no, this is all about peace, love, and harmony.
Yeah.
This is all about buy the world a Coke and a smile.
I think we'd better pray before you go any further, or we're going to be in big trouble.
Please do.
Oh, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you love us despite our bugs, our sinfulness, our flaws, our failings. And you've cleaned us up. You've debugged us by giving your Son into life, into death, and into resurrection to lift from us your wrath and any vestige of guilt and to bring us instead a brand new life in Christ Jesus, a life that you declare us to be holy and righteous in your sight because of Jesus. So, because you transform us in Christ, we ask your transforming power to continue to be with us through your word, not only in this hour, but throughout this day, that we might rejoice in your goodness. And we commend into your care all those whose travels are impeded by some weather conditions that you've allowed to take place, and even fix or debug that 800 number. All of our cares, Lord, you invite us to cast upon you because you care for us, and we trust that you will handle them all in the very best way. So thanks be to you, Father, for all that you've done for us in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Again, if you joined us a few moments late, the 800 number is not working, at least not at this moment. Give it a try if you like. It may come back to life sometime during the hour, 1-800-730-2727. If not, if you really want to get in with a question or a comment, 314-821-0850. And, you know, there's always the email. I keep telling folks it works great. Here's your challenge. If you can't use 800 number, send me an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Romans 15, verses 5 to 6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our text for today. No controversy there.
No.
No?
No.
You know,
in fact, when I first got this assignment from Jenny, I thought, that's it?
That's it.
Boy, and then I thought, and I know how Roland studies in preparation for this broadcast, so I wonder what he has up his sleeve.
Well, let me start you with this. You know, across several years of broadcasting at KFUO, a number of different programs, you know, I've talked about things like Burger King theology, you know, have it your way.
Yeah,
all right.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Outback Steakhouse theology, no rules, just right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the handy-dandy do-it-yourself home theology kit, where you get an assortment of parts and you build your own Jesus.
DIY.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just it suits your needs as you go along.
Yep.
You know, we have Rodney King theology. Can't we all just get along?
And then can't we?
Well, I don't know. That's the point of today's program. And then you've got Bobby McFerrin theology. This is a new one for today.
All right, lay it on me.
Don't worry, be happy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So why can't Christians just get along?
Why is the 800 number down? Why are roads icy and dangerous to be on? Why do people get sick? Why is there death? Why is there war? It's all due to this condition with which we were born, known as sin.
Hmm.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Eve. You just messed up the whole creation for everyone.
Well, why not blame God? He could have stopped them if he wanted to.
You want to try that?
Try what? Blaming God?
Yeah.
I think I've become an expert at it. If I'm being brutally honest here, I think we all have.
Yeah, from one time to another, yes. And we've often, even if we haven't said it in a loud voice, we've thought it with a very upset mind. Dear God, why me?
Yeah.
And God replies, oh, are you such a perfect example of godliness that you can't stand a little discipline and improvement?
Okay.
I mean,
but just a little.
You discipline not too your much. Daughters.
Just a little, not too much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, my daughter's really, my daughter's not a good example because God has blessed me with two children I should not have, because if they were like their father, I'd be disciplining them constantly.
Yeah, well, all right, let me just relate how I've watched my, both my older son and my younger daughter deal with their children. Every once in a while, I hear them say, do I hear a yes, sir? And there's this long pause. And sometimes there's a humble, yes, sir, and sometimes there isn't. And when there isn't, I'm impressed with how my children have grown up and have learned how to handle their children very well.
So when it comes to fellowship, I think this is what Paul is talking about today. Now, you've been in ministry how many years, Pastor Troxell?
43.
So you know a thing or two about fellowship, right?
I've stubbed my toe on it a few times.
All right. Give me a simple fellowship rubric. How do I know who I can hang out with, and how do I know who I shouldn't go anywhere near?
Well, it's not in Romans 15, 5, and 6, just, you know, right on the top, although we'll get into it. But John, in his first letter, chapter 3, says, test the spirits who come to you to see if they are from God. In other words, check out, examine, listen to what's being said, and watch what's going on, and not just for 30 seconds, but for some time, to see if what these people are saying and doing is consistent in every way with what the Word of God teaches. Now, that's very threatening for some people. I have routinely told the congregations I've served, and especially the kids in my confirmation classes and the adults in my adult confirmation classes, it is your responsibility to check me out and to see if what I'm saying and doing is in total agreement with what the Word of God says. And the response I get after a look of pure shock is, well, Pastor, that means I need to know my Bible. Yeah.
Well, if I need to be that well informed, why do I need a pastor in the first place?
To help you become that informed.
Oh.
And you're riding herd on him.
I thought it was supposed to be the other way around. That's why you're the shepherd and we're the sheep.
Shepherds need some guidance and correction from time to time also.
Hmm.
Every one of us is both a saint and a sinner at the same time. And just because I have a theological degree and just because I was ordained and I have a call doesn't make me exempt from sin and error. And I have to constantly be checking out what I say and do according to Holy Scripture, and I depend on other people to keep an eye on me also, especially those whom we select to be elders in our congregations.
Well,
they are to be both helpers to the pastor and supervisors of his doctrine and life.
Well, but far too often those turn out to be the guys who say yes, and not too many people do.
Well, that
so you take
becomes,
what you can get, Pastor.
That becomes a significant challenge in a congregation, and they need a little education about that then.
Hmm. Hey, can we talk about Lutherans for a moment?
Do we really want to?
Well, I think we have to.
Okay.
Because this verse goes right to the heart of some controversy. And
oh, yeah.
When I say Lutherans, let's, you know, we'll cast the light on our tribe.
Okay.
You know, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Yep.
Because you've got Wells and ELCA, and you've got the Independents, and then you've got the whole alphabet soup of...
And every one of them has problems just like we do. None of us is perfect.
We do. But maybe I can group in with us, you know, the Wells and some of the independent Lutheran groups. But we get branded as narrow-minded when it comes to things like fellowship and getting along and ecumenism, that big word.
Yeah.
Whatever that means today in a postmodern
age.
Yeah. Well, why are we? Are you a closed-minded pastor, Pastor Troxell?
Oh, I have been told I am patient almost to a fault.
Well, that's why you're still back on the program with me. that's all I can explain.
You know, sometimes when I'm in the studio, I say we really need to have an in-studio camera.
Oh, yeah.
We need it here in my study now. Oh, mercy.
No, but all seriousness, we, you know, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Lutherans, many of them, you know, we're called, you know, because of our doctrine and practice, closed-minded. We don't want to get along with anybody else.
Yeah.
We don't want to get along with each other, some might argue.
No, we don't. No, we don't, because not everybody is really walking together in agreement on what the Word of God teaches, even though to be a member of our synod, you take certain you make certain promises to uphold certain standards.
Yeah, but everything's negotiable in this life.
Well, there are those who would like to think so, but let's look at verse 5 of our text then. When may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another. Here's the key, in accord with Christ Jesus. And that's not being like Jesus or acting like Jesus. Rather, especially when you study this in the original language, it says Jesus is the norm, the standard for what we say and do, just as Holy Scripture, which is His Word, is the standard for what we say and do. And because we believe, or no, I'm not even going to say it that way, because the Bible is the Word of God, which is very uncomfortable for people to say today, because the Bible is the Word of God, there is an absolute standard of what is right and what is wrong, what is truth and what is error. And we have to live, we have to believe, we have to teach and preach and practice in according to that standard, which is the unchanging Word of God. And sometimes that standard raises some, or it puts us in some interesting situations where we would rather run with our feelings rather than with the Word. And it's been said of one of the other major Lutheran groups in the U.S., and I believe they've even said it of themselves, that in that particular Lutheran group, feelings always trump Scripture. And that really scares the living daylights out of me, because feelings are all over the place. And there's no standard for feelings.
No, they're subjective, yeah.
Yeah, very. Mm. And it's back to Burger King and
well, that's why I started
all the other
that
guys
way,
that you mentioned at the beginning.
Just make it up as you go along.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to, like I said, how Lutherans, at least Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod Lutherans, are branded when it comes to this. What does it mean to be in fellowship? You say walking in agreement, the term synod, synodical, walking together.
Mm-hmm.
How much are we supposed to agree? Can we go with, if we agree on 50% of everything, we're walking together? What about 70%? Does it have to be 100% on every single thing?
It has to be total agreement to the gospel in all of its points. Now, that does not mean we all have to use exactly the same order of worship every Sunday, conducted in exactly the same way, and we all have to sing exactly the same hymns every Sunday, And it doesn't mean we even have to use the same scripture readings on a given Sunday. We have, under the gospel, a great degree of freedom. But we cannot disagree with what God's word says.
We may have great freedom in scripture.
Yeah.
But do we have great freedom in the Book of Concord?
What would you elaborate on that just a
Well,
minute?
I don't know. I just thought I would juxtapose one to the other.
Well, remember that the Book of Concord is it is not equivalent to Scripture, but because it clearly sets forth what Scripture says in more of a topical, doctrinal way, it is binding on us, yes. When I was ordained, and every time I was installed in a congregation, I, among the vows I took were was the promise that I would teach and practice and live in accordance with Holy Scripture and with the Lutheran confessions.
Right.
Because not insofar as they express what Scripture says, but because they, in all their points, set forth clearly what Scripture says. So if you're really interested in knowing not only what does the church say, but what does the Bible say on a particular topic, and a good hot one for people to study on their own is predestination, go look it up in the Book of Concord, especially the formula of Concord.
Would it be fair to say that the Lutheran confessions are the fence around the yard in which we get to run?
Only because they actually state what Scripture says. And so ultimately, it's Scripture is the fence. But it's if you were looking for a clear, concise way of pulling together what Scripture says, yes, then you can cite the Lutheran confessions. Now, in my practice, I avoid saying the confessions say, or the fathers of the church have long said, because we human beings are subject to error. I'm not saying there's error in the Lutheran confessions, but what our people on Sunday morning or any other time we're gathered with them, what they want to know is, Pastor, what does the Bible say? And that's what I am called to preach and to teach. And I will use the confessions as my guide and as the standard to make sure that what I'm saying is correct. But I always take my people to Scripture.
We've got about
that's the thing they want to hear from. And a little bit further on this. So
I just wanted to warn you, we've got about a minute to the
break. Class, I've had people ask me, especially people coming out of Roman Catholicism, ask me, Pastor, what does the church say? And my reply always is, well, the Bible says. And about the fourth time they ask that question and they get that same response from me, a little light goes on in their heads, and you see it in their eyes. I'm like, oh, yeah, all right. And they'll start, Pastor, what does the church? No, what does the Bible say? I said, you're getting it. You're getting it. There's only one standard in that Scripture.
Well, I just find the word freedom to be a fascinating word, because what we define sort of, you know, casually as freedom, you know, you get to do whatever you want whenever you feel like it. That's freedom.
No.
And then when you
slavery.
Use that word, that's slavery.
That's slavery.
Well, we're going to have to pick that up on the other side of the break.
Right.
Pastor Larry Troxell is with me this morning, serving at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois. We're Romans 15, verses 5 to 6 as the day's assignment. Read ahead. Join us. Again, the 800 number may still be down. Give it a try. 1-800-730-2727. If you get through, all the better. If not, try the email, kfuo@kfuo.org. The break's a great time to write in, call in, whichever. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Author Tim Gagline, who served as the special assistant to President George W. Bush, talks about the importance of KFUO.
KFUO is in the middle of the culture, and if you want to impact culture, you have to be in it. I think that we owe the best that is within us to our country, culture, and civilization. And now with the advent of the internet to the world, how do we find new ways to the rising generation of young Americans to share the good news of Jesus's birth, death, and resurrection? How do we use our moral imagination? How do we use creativity to get the word out? That's what it's all about. That's what KFUO is doing. It is making it new. It's saying, here is our great legacy and our great heritage as Lutherans who are privileged and honored to live in this country. I love KFUO for that reason.
On the radio, online, and on demand, worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Human trafficking is the third fastest growing criminal industry. It impacts millions of people, including tens of thousands of immigrants, and reaches virtually every corner of the U.S. This trading in the bodies and souls of human beings is clearly condemned in Scripture. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service launched the End Human Trafficking Campaign to help educate and mobilize Lutherans to make a difference. Together we can end human trafficking. LIRS.org/EHT.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide. KFUO, Pastor Larry Troxell's with me. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us today. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. That is our assignment for today. All right, give me a quick 1-2-3 on what freedom really is. That's where we left it going to the break.
Well, we first of all have to have an understanding that every human being is under the authority of a power. We are either under the authority and power of the Word of God, or we are under the authority and power of the old evil foe, Satan. There is no one who is, quote, absolutely free, unquote, so that they can simply choose to do their own thing when, where, and how, and all that sort of thing, because that would indicate that God doesn't even exist. And that makes each of us our own God, and that gets this world into a worse mess than it is now. So the question is not, are you ever going to be absolutely free, where you can be a law unto yourself? The question is always, whom are you serving?
See, and that's another fascinating word, autonomous, a law unto yourself.
Yeah, autonomous. Lots of people like to think they are, especially here in the United States in 2013 going into 2014. I'm my own individual, I can do whatever I want. Well, that person is denying the existence of God himself.
Hmm. Let's jump to the phones quickly, Pastor Troxell, okay. Because Cheryl's calling from Indianapolis. Good morning.
Great.
Good morning. I have a question today. What does the Bible say about Preston? And the reason I'm asking is because I have come into disharmony at my church for the use of a marketing company in a church office. And what does the Bible say about that? The importance of technological marketing for a church? And
well, let me see if I can rephrase your question for Pastor Troxell.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Is something like choosing to use a marketing agency to promote your church something that you should break fellowship over?
Is that the question?
All right, I guess
is that what Cheryl was asking?
I'm hoping so because she's not with us anymore.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean that's what I took the tone to be is that
yeah, and that's what I sort of picked up as well.
And let's just talk about this generally. We don't want to get into the nature.
No, I'm not going to go into just any into one specific congregation and what it's doing.
Right.
That really violates the Eighth Commandment.
But it is a good question. What is important and what is not important?
Yeah, what is important? What is not? And the whole thing would then come down to what is being done and how is it being done? Are the teachings of Holy Scripture being recognized? Is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the center of everything that the marketing program is presenting to the public? Or is it marketing a congregation's name or a pastor's name or programs of the church and not keeping Jesus Christ at the center? Now, before I retired, the congregation I served for about 27 years, we went from having a couple of typewriters to having an in-house computer network and going online with the internet and having our own website and all that sort of thing. And our attempt at that always was not simply to identify the name of the congregation, but hold out Christ Jesus, our Savior, and His gospel at the center. What comes to mind right now in response to this is both Paul and Peter, in certain situations, made or the letter of Jude, even the half brother of our Lord, made reference in either in speaking or in writing to certain stories or authors that were currently popular that were not even Christian, but quoted from them to make a point in what they were saying, but at the same time did it by keeping the focus always on Christ Jesus. So to a certain sense, yes, we have the freedom to make use of all modern technology and even, quote, marketing techniques, unquote, as long as Christ Jesus is at the center and the truth of Holy Scripture is being maintained and not undercut.
Why should I... Well, let me rephrase the question. We should start the program like they start Congress. You know how they say things like, I reserve the right to revise and extend my remarks at a later time.
While you're reserving that right, I think the very fact that we are on the radio,
yeah,
and KFUO has been on the air for how many years now?
Oh, almost 90.
Almost 90. And that we are worldwide using the internet?
Yes.
And you're on Facebook?
Yes, we are.
We are using, in a sense, modern technological marketing techniques and media to get the gospel out clearly. Not compromising the Word of God at all, but clearly into the public medium. And certainly we pray God's blessing on it. Certainly God is using us. You may not have the read today. I remember a couple of months ago when I was down, you were saying, well, we're in 39 countries and I forget how many states all at the same time. Like, my goodness, what an opportunity for the gospel.
But if we take this
opportunity that God gives, whether it's KFUO or a congregation using a marketing program, and use it to promote a congregation or a pastor, we're missing the point.
Having had a moment now to think about the question,
yeah.
I guess really when it comes to what is and what is not fellowship, should I be friends? Should I be business associates? Should every aspect of my life only be with other Lutherans with whom I agree?
Oh, gee, I hope not, or else I'm in big trouble because I have relatives who are Roman Catholic. We have good friends who are Reformed and other denominations, and we actually pray with them. And of all things, Saturday night, I was part, and my wife and I were part of a group that sang for 2 hours in hold on to your chair, Roland. I don't want you falling off. In a United Church of Christ building. It was the symphony, the Quincy Symphony Chorus annual Christmas concert. And with the exception of maybe two songs, the rest of the 2 hours were all Christ-centered. Some of the best theology I've ever sung.
Well, is there a distinction then between what we do socially and in the sense of community and what we do in terms of fellowship? Maybe we should really define what fellowship is. Is it just getting together and having a good time with folks?
No.
Or is it something more?
It is something far more than just getting together. And this is where the old, it's a Scandinavian song that I think, the more we get together, the happier we'll be. Not so in matters of church life and doctrine. First of all, we must keep in mind that the unity of the Holy Christian Church is not something that we bring about as human beings. It's something that God the Holy Spirit already established in Christ on the day of Pentecost. Now, our human sinfulness has brought about all kinds of visible fractures in that one holy Christian and apostolic church.
Well, that was the argument against the Reformation, was look at the mess you're going to make.
Well, and Luther was not at all interested in causing a split or starting another denomination. He was after the purifying of the teaching and practice of Christians. And our primary confession, the Augsburg Confession from 1530, is actually an invitation for all Christians to agree on this statement of faith, the Augsburg Confession. And we've never withdrawn that invitation.
Yeah,
because it is in total agreement with the Word of God.
But wasn't that the confession we had to apologize for?
No, we have to defend it.
No, there's the apology.
The English language has all these little tripwires.
Yeah, they're fun, though.
They are.
It's fun to play with words.
But now, as far as fellowship, especially when we're talking in church terms,
yes,
matters of faith and Christian life, this is something where we have agreement in doctrine and practice. Namely, that the gospel, the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity with the gospel predominating, and the sacraments are administered according to the standard of Christ's institution, not according to the errors of human doctrine or practice that have crept in over the centuries.
Well, I mean, just to make turnabout fair play, has the Roman Church ever been unified?
No.
Not really.
No, I could list seven different styles or types of Roman Catholics today, and they're probably even more than that.
Well, sure.
And also, we need to remember that the Roman Catholic Church, as it exists today, did not come into existence until the 1540s with the Council of Trent, when they defined by canon law what was where they were going to stand in response to the Reformation.
Yeah, we seem to be...
And we actually, as Lutherans, we are, when we can trace our doctrine and practice back to the apostolic age.
Well, speaking of the apostles,
that's
where I wanted to go next. I mean, for crying out loud, they couldn't get along with each other. And they had Christ in their presence in his earthly ministry, and they're still arguing about who's the greatest and who's this and who's that.
Well, and after that, when Paul and Barnabas wanted to go back to visit the churches which the Holy Spirit used them to establish on their first missionary journey, they got into such an argument over whether they should take John Mark with them or not that they split. And Barnabas took John Mark and went to Cyprus, while Paul took Silas and went into what is today Turkey, and then on into Greece.
Yeah, across Asia Minor.
And yet, and this is the neat part, later on, Paul writes of Mark as being very valuable to him. And Peter refers to Paul as our dear brother. So while they had a logistical disagreement, they did not disagree on Scripture.
But how much setting... Well, let me ask you this, because it goes right to our culture and how the church functions within our culture. We seem to be a people preoccupied. I mean, look at all the coexist bumper stickers that are out there. We all just want to get along with each other. This is that Rodney King thing I was talking about at the start of the program. You know, we are preoccupied with sort of this faux fellowship, F-A-U-X, faux fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
That it looks like it, it seems like it, it appears to be like it, but in reality there isn't any. But for the sake of appearance, we're all just going to get along with one another. Is that necessarily such a bad thing?
Number one, as a positive witness to Christ, I will get along in a friendly manner with any other person who confesses saving faith in Christ Jesus until they bring up a point where we don't agree with what Scripture says. And then I have to be careful about how I handle that situation. We have some dear friends who really buy into premillennial theology. And so when we visit with them, even stay overnight in their home, because we are friends, we pray together, we have fun together, and we have learned we're never going to agree on this, so we leave it alone. But I'm not called to be their pastor. So while I pray for their minds to be changed by the Holy Spirit as they study His Word still, it's not my place to behave as a pastor to them. They haven't asked me, and they would reject it if I tried.
When you look at verse 5, it says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony."
Yeah.
God is driving the verb, grant. It is up to God to grant us this harmony we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't manufacture it ourselves,
no
matter how hard we try?
It is always the work of the Holy Spirit, who brings us through some really difficult struggles at times to come to this. That's why you have to reach back to the previous verses, especially remembering that the entire Old Testament was written for our instruction so that through endurance and through the encouragement of Holy Scripture, we might have hope. Well, we'd better agree on what Scripture says if it's going to produce that kind of hope in us. And for us to live in harmony with one another, we've got to be in the Word.
But how much setting aside of differences is too much setting aside of differences?
When I am serving the people God has called me to serve as pastor, I cannot vary at all from what Scripture says. And I have to work gently with them. And boy, time and patience. Work gently with them so that under the instruction by the Holy Spirit through Scripture, we come to agreement on this. And then we actually are doing what verse 6 says with one voice, glorifying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a united confession. We're all speaking the one and same gospel. That doesn't happen when you've got people who are into decision theology and those who are saying, I saved so many people and I decided to follow Jesus and all that. No, you didn't. And, it's when we start hitting those points where we say, if that's what you choose to believe, I respect your... I respect the opportunity that life in the United States gives you to go that way, but we are not walking together.
But what possible reason could God have? If we go back to 5 and God's driving the verb, God grant such harmony, what reason would God have to not grant harmony?
He's working to grant it, but you know, he does not make us puppets. He does not pull our strings.
Okay.
We have the ability to reject the truth of God's word that's been within us since before Adam and Eve, because they rejected the word of God. That's, in a sense, what it means to be a human being. We have this will, and sadly, our will has been corrupted. We were born with a corrupted will, and while God is working in us through word and sacrament to bring our will more and more in alignment with his, it, you know, I'm 69 years old, and I'm still making God work overtime trying to keep my will perfectly aligned with his.
Let's jump back to the phones and talk with David. You're up next. Good morning, David. Good to hear from you.
Hi. Thank you. I got an interesting question as far as confessions. Which confessions would be the standard of to go with? Because you have the Westminster Heidelberg Catechism, you got the Lutheran Statements of Faith,
mm-hmm.
The Council of Trent,
mm-hmm.
which I heard was the Catholic Church's Reformation. Now, because the statements of faith like that, catechisms or
mm-hmm.
Confessions have to be interpreted, because those confessions, I would assume, have to be interpreted. So what would make the Lutheran confession any more better than the Heidelberg or any other John Calvin's confessions or anything better than his? I see a lot of that is very division. What do you think about that?
I have to look at those different documents and determine which one is really in accord with what Scripture says. Now, Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli, the great, well-known, more reformed reformers, if you will, they allowed their human reason to have authority over Scripture. For example, they said, I don't understand how Jesus' true body and true blood can actually be present with the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. How can the finite contain the infinite? That doesn't make sense to me. Therefore, even though Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, that can't be so, because my reason just doesn't figure that out or won't allow that. And so instead of their reason being taken captive with the Word of God, they're actually exalting their reason over the Word of God. And for that reason, for example, we would not agree with the Heidelberg Catechism. Council of Trent, you can read through it. The canons and decrees, and one of them even says that those who believe that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, solely by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, let them be condemned forever to hell. And the word is anathema. Well, I'm sorry, but they have just disagreed with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So we would reject the canons and decrees of the Council of Trent.
So really,
have to line them up with Scripture and go through point by point and say, does this agree with Scripture? Does this agree with Scripture or not?
Okay. Well, now, so to be in fellowship would seem to be a term that is really lacking definition.
Yes.
Because of all these different groups. Now, since I'm not infallible, and you're not infallible with mm-hmm. with understanding Scripture,
mm-hmm.
we could be wrong on some points, correct?
And that's why it's well that we sit down with other Christians and look at this together and seek to find. Am I wrong, or is this really the truth? And so, for example, our Lutheran confessions were not just the product of one man, but and even the ones that were written by one man then had to be tested out by many other pastors, teachers, congregations, town councils even, to see which, you know, is this really the truth or not? And it took decades for these things to become recognized as, yes, this is the truth, not these others.
David, thanks for the call. I guess also the other baseline that is critical are the great creeds. Do you deny anything that's held in the creed?
Yeah. That is really a marvelous thing. And it's like asking the question, well, who decides what books get into the Bible and which ones don't? You know, it's not some church council that settled this. It's the agreement of all Christians everywhere, which is why we're not looking to find any other new books of the Bible after 2,000 years of Christianity. Because and it's not that the church has suppressed some, it's just the church has looked at things like the Gospel of Thomas, things like that, and said, this doesn't smell like Scripture at all.
Right, they come up short. Let's go and let's get one more call in before we have to let you go, Pastor Troxell, and that's Larry. Larry, two Larrys this morning.
How
Larry
about
Square,
that?
Good morning. Larry, hang on for a second. All right, go ahead, start again.
I said good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
The conversation makes me think of Amos 3, verse 3. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? In my opinion, doctrine defines fellowship. But my question is, when you're at these non-Lutheran gatherings, do you lead the prayer or do you partake of the prayer?
Good question, because I occasionally am in civic meetings where someone of another denomination has been asked to have the opening prayer, and I listen carefully, and I may be listening to what is called a prayer, which doesn't even come close to a scriptural definition of prayer. I may listen to it, but I'm not a full participant in it.
I don't participate. That's the way I've been taught.
Yeah.
That if you're partaking in the prayer of a non-Lutheran, Orthodox Lutheran, let's say Missouri Synod, prayer, you're actually partaking in their doctrine, saying you believe in their doctrine, and I can't go there. You know, one other quick point. When you were talking about Zwingli and Calvin and the reason.
20 seconds.
I always think of this. When Christ performed his first miracle at the wedding of Cana,
right,
he used water and word to create new wine.
120 gallons at least.
He used water and word in infant baptism to create faith.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Larry, thanks for the call. Yeah, it's a tough subject, probably worthy of more than just 1 hour, because I think the caller pointed out well, the fly in the ointment is defining these terms.
Well,
yeah, what does it mean?
Our synod has been debating this longer than I've been in the ministry.
But at least we can have a fair and open discussion about it.
As long as we stay on Scripture.
Absolutely. Pastor Larry Troxell serves at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois, regular on the Bible study. We've been in Romans 15, 5-6 today. Thanks, my friend, and thanks for staying safe up home. Don't get on that highway if it's not necessary.
No, the Lord has taught me to be careful.
Very good. All right, Faith and Family next, then Mark Hawkinson, Moments of Assurance. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.